30 years. Your voice, your morning. John McKenzie's morning. Only on 4CA 846.
Oh, this is a great opportunity to continue down this line and find out more about what's happening out on the reef. Now, we're having this discussion largely as a result of an expose. It's there from Peter Michael in the Courier Mail today, right across page one. It's also contained there, page five of the Kent's Post. Reading just briefly, reef tourism operators have found less than 5% of coral has died off compared to the 50 to 60% estimated by scientists. Under extreme, in inverted commas, extreme mass coral bleaching on the Great Barrier Reef, latest findings show that coral mortality in the outer shelf reefs north of Lizard Island was between 1 and 5%, with spectacular fish life and coral coverage. I won't come on with all the details of the survey result, because on the line is one of the most highly qualified people on these matters, Professor Peter Ridd. Now, a marine geophysicist and head of intelligence systems and information at James Cook University. And Peter, in the studio and available to talk with you today is Anthony Albanese, the Shadow Tourism Minister.
Good day, Peter.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling in.
Pete, can we just talk about water quality? Last time you were on this program, we had a discussion on water quality, which is a reputedly dreadful state. You're saying the quality of water out there in the coral reef lagoon is not bad.
That's correct. And I've got a lot of sympathy for the gentleman you had before from the tourist operations, that essentially we're seeing a lot of exaggeration of the threats to the reef. I mean, we all accept there are threats to the reef, but this latest coral bleaching, where it looks like that a lot of the things have been overstated, is just one of quite a few instances. You know, a few years ago we were told that the Southern Great Barrier Reef was on its way out, and then we then find out that in fact it's bounced back very well. We're told that all the sediment coming down from the rivers is killing the reef, but when you actually look at the numbers, the sediments is really only 1% of the sediment that's naturally suspended and always has been. So we do have a problem with our science and our science organisations. I've actually got a lot of sympathy for the politicians, because they're being given bad information. It's very difficult for them to challenge it when you do get a tourist operator who's worried about the situation. And it's something's going to have to be done about our science organisations. I do have some suggestions about what could be done, in fact.
Yeah, and what might they be, Peter?
Well, firstly, we need some quality assurance. So in engineering, everything is tested, checked and replicated again and again and again. When you fly an aeroplane, you know, the care that goes into making sure that the initial results are, you know, checked and tested and are reliable. In the environmental sciences, we do not do that. So a group of scientists go out, they do some measurements, they do this thing called peer review, which sounds all very impressive, but it really boils down to a couple of people doing a quick read, maybe just a few hours of your report, and that's it. What we need is an institution, possibly government-funded, probably run through the Auditor General's Department, because this is an audit, a science audit,
yep,
to check, test, and possibly replicate. So that when a scientist goes out and says, for example, that the growth rate of the corals has declined, that in fact, because that's an important finding, another scientist who does a robust review and possibly tries to repeat that experiment needs to see whether it's true.
What do you think in terms of GRUMPA, its role should be?
I think GRUMPA should have partly that role, and I think they're a little bit negligent in not doing that already. But I think it maybe needs to be even more independent than that, and that's why I'm saying not even the CSIRO. That at the moment we do have a situation where government finances have to be checked to some extent through the Auditor General, so there's not corruption going on. Now, I'm actually not saying there's corruption going on. I think there's just quite a bit of bad science going on. You need an organisation whose sole purpose is to check this stuff.
Yeah, I sat on in the Parliament in the last term, so I'm still technically probably a member, given Parliament hasn't sat, of the Joint Public Accounts Committee on Audit that oversees the Office of National Auditor's Office, and Grant Hare, the Auditor General, basically reports to that committee. I can't see practically that they have that area of expertise. They tend to examine documents and financial. They tend to be very much just on the economic side.
No, you're quite right. Their present role is entirely financial, and that's the way it should be. But what I'm saying is that you need an organisation that has a similar scientific role to what we have through the Auditor General. Now, the Auditor General, in my view, needs to be expanded so it does take into account. I mean, we're going to spend $8 billion on the Great Barrier Reef. I think we need some organisation, and we can argue about who it should be run through, that actually tests to see whether the science upon which we're spending an enormous amount of money is we're going to do it right. Because otherwise, we could spend $8 billion and focus on the wrong environmental threats.
Sure. No. Look, it's a very interesting and practical suggestion that you're making, and I certainly, when Canberra's back in a couple of weeks, it'll be a bit colder than here, and I'll certainly raise the issue that I think it's very thought provoking. We do need to make sure that the money is spent in the right way. I think also we need to work in terms of getting the information out there. I assume you heard the comments that I made just a little bit before about the work that Tropical Tourism North Queensland is doing, because I think that is good work to counter that information.
And I entirely agree, and I agree with your comments, and it is excellent that tourist operators are doing this, but in a sense, it's actually not their job. We should be able to rely on our science organisations, and even though I'm a scientist and science has been my whole life, it gives me no pleasure to say that at the moment, at least in the environmental sciences, we actually can't have a great deal of confidence in what we're being told. And that's a shocking situation to be in. It doesn't mean that everything is wrong, by the way. It just means that we can't tell what is right. And that's not a good situation to be in.
Sure.
All right, Peter, really appreciate your time on the program today. That's Professor Peter Ridd, the marine geophysicist, also head of intelligence systems and information, on the basically on how this information that is coming out of Townsville is being disseminated. And of course, what's the interest for most people today? It is the image of our Great Barrier Reef, how that has been carried internationally, and how, because of the way it's basically been interpreted into a form of propaganda, it is undermining our tourism industry. Just one final word on that. You've come into the studio today and you've copped a broadside basically from people who are up here. From our point of view, it's very different from what you here in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne from the media there.
That's one of the great reasons why politicians have to get out and about. I've been in the last 2 weeks, I've been in Darwin, I've been in Perth, I've been in Melbourne and here. Getting out and about at the beginning of the term, I've been given the job of a big job, infrastructure and tourism, and talking to people where they are, you get a different perspective than you do sitting in an office in Parliament House in Canberra.
The amount of money in hundreds of millions that are poured into, for example, the studies that basically emanate out of Townsville, so much of that information that is fundamentally driven by taxpayer funds is undermining our tourism industry. Now, you just heard that operator coming back from the airport, picking up that group of Japanese, saying, no, we're not interested in going to the Great Barrier Reef. Why would we? It's dead.
No, and that's a terrible conveying of that message. Clearly, has got through there in Japan. That tells us a couple of things. It tells us that we need to work much harder on getting our message out there internationally, and what the consequences of not doing that are. Because people, without the reef, I mean, this is the greatest asset for this region. It's something that Australians are very proud of as well. When you travel overseas, people know about the Great Barrier Reef as one of the first things that they mention. And people want to come and visit. Fortunately, there's been a big pickup. The tourism operators were quite positive yesterday that since the change in the dollar, I mean, essentially the mining boom rather than the global financial crisis really was what caused a great deal of economic hardship here in far north Queensland between the domestic tourists dropping off, going overseas because it was cheaper, but foreign tourists not coming here because it was more expensive. And also, of course, tradies getting jobs in fly-in, fly-out work rather than working here that created issues. So we've come through that, and they're pretty positive about the future. But part of being positive is projecting that image out there, that the Reef is a wonderful place. This area has almost unlimited potential. We are seeing the greatest growth of wealth in our region that the world has ever seen. It's happening right on our doorstep. The potential for direct China flights, just as we have the gentleman's outlaws, as he called them, were coming in and out from Osaka directly. That's a sign. I mean, one of the things that Cairns needs in particular in terms of tourism growth, people, and you get it when you visited here a few times, that it's not a matter of stopping off in Cairns and going to Sydney. What the growth here needs to be, this as the final destination and then a return, so the planes are full either way. And I think the potential of the direct flights, we have Singapore, we have Japan, we have Hong Kong through Cathay, the potential for China, India, Vietnam is certainly there.
I hope you come back far more frequently so you can understand where we're coming from.